Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I have not.
The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you out another time.
Sing.
This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
Nope. Oh, I don't care.
Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
No. Budget live, not so live from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in good old rainy Middle Tennessee this morning. This is the podcast for Monday, October the 25th. And full disclosure, this is another one that I'm recording before I leave for Grand. Before I leave for Grand Lake, because I don't know when I'm going to be home from that trip. And I'm not going to lug all my podcast equipment around. We're just going to be honest. I love you low-lifers out there, the fine listeners of Low Budget Live Podcast, but recording a couple to get ahead a little bit. That way you guys can get some LBL in your ears, and I don't have to take all this on the road with me while I'm fishing that Bassmaster Open. So this is the podcast for Monday, October 25th. I've got you a good guest lined up, somebody that I'm really looking forward to talking to here in just a few minutes. Something that I saw on Google, on the Google. I've been taking a little bit of a social media hiatus. Some of y'all probably noticed that. It's like Dave Chappelle said, it's not real life. It's not real life. It's not real. So I'm just like, yeah, just trying to not dwell in the ways of social media that much, the past couple of weeks. So definitely enjoying that break, to say the least. But something I saw, I guess yesterday, a couple days ago, whatever, and I'm not making fun of this for anybody, so save your hate comments. But there was a guy, and I believe it was London, that ran up in public and killed like five people with a bow and arrow. With a bow and arrow. I mean, here's the thing. Obviously, bow and arrows are very lethal, right? We see that. We see bow and arrows, you know, they could take down a damn elk, man. Grizzly bear. I mean, things happen, right? But to get five folks with a bow and arrow, a dude either A, had a good hiding spot, or B, is like Cameron Haynes, he's running them down and shooting them. Like, I don't know, but I feel like if I see you and you've in public with archery equipment, I feel like I can make an exit. If I see you. Now, that being said, you're all hid up in some tree. Maybe not, but that really messed with me, man. It's like when people's like stabbing. There was a stabbing and 17 people got stabbed. Buddy, you better be fast. You better be. I mean, I got a little short, stubby legs, but if I see you with a knife, you better be surprising me. I mean, I feel like that, but I read that. That's such a bizarre headline, man. Five folks, but certainly not making any light of the fact that people lost their lives. But damn, that it's just the world. In summary, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the theme the last couple of weeks of my life, but the world has gone completely crazy. That is, as James Watson said, that's worldwide too, right there. That is worldwide. That is across the pond news. That didn't happen here. Somebody didn't take their Hoyt up in Times Square and some, muzzies. I don't understand, man. That's like stuff out of a movie. Like stuff out of a movie. All right, we got to get a move on. Y'all comment if y'all saw that story though, because that was bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S to me. Real quick, want to thank the fine sponsors of Low Budget Live and the Traveling Circus. Folks like Startron and Starbright having my back, taking care of all you lowlifers, kicking ethanol just right in the teeth. Right in the teeth. Ethanol will, it's not a maybe, it's not a could, it will over time make it where your outboard engine ain't gonna run. Make it where that chainsaw, that weed eater, that lawnmower, you let that lawnmower sit with bad gas in it all freaking winter long. Then your wife's on you the next spring. Why don't you get out there and cut the grass? And you go to cut the grass and the damn thing won't start. It's because ethanol. If you put some Startron in there, when you go to store it, it'll start. I don't know that that's a guarantee, but I'm just saying it will help. This bottle treats 256 gallons of ethanol-tainted fuel. Little dab will do you. Drop it in your tank. Startron, kick ethanol in the teeth. We appreciate them bringing you Low Budget Live. In the ad that we did, so Start Run Store with Startron. That means when you go to start, that bad boy's going to start. Nothing ruins a great day on the water like an outboard engine that won't run. Y'all heard it here. Get you some Startron available everywhere. Sims Fishing Products. I mean, one of my favorite hats that I've ever owned right here, the Sims hat, but the Solar Flex hoodie, the Pro Dry rain suit. Now you're kicking in. Dude, they got a flannel, and I don't have one of these yet. I've got to get one. They have these hooded sweatshirt. I'm a hooded sweatshirt guy. I love a hoodie. But they have these flannel hooded jacket shirt that are things. That's officially on their website. It's what it says. That are just the warmest. I mean, just damn. It's like somebody walking around giving you a hug during the winter. That's what that's saying. And I got to get one. So be sure to check those out on the Sims website. They've made those for a while, but they got the base layers. It's going to get cold. It's going to happen. You're going to want to be out there in a deer stand, and you're going to be wanting to chase some smallmouth bass this winter, unless you're up north, and then you're going to want to be snowmobiling. But you can lock it down. You can keep all the elements out with Sims Fishing Products. And I'm here to remind all you lowlifers, you get one life. Fish it well. Pro Guide Batteries, manufacturers of fine power for your bass boat, your bay boat, your kayak, whatever the case is. Been running those 31 series AGMs this year and the new lithiums. You're going to want to check those out. You can get them at ProGuideBatteries.com. Use code LBL10 for a little bit of a discount right there, and get your power right, especially on your bass boat. Like that Express X21 right here. Hang the dang banner. X21 powered by that beast of an engine. 250 Yamaha show. Got the C-Deck. Got all my Garmin's on there. X21 96-inch beam. 96 inches. That's the number one. Man, this thing's a lot wider than I thought it would be. Yeah, it's as wide as every other bass boat out there. 96-inch beam, 21 feet of fury, man, that I can take shallow. I can take deep, everywhere in between. Y'all hear me talking to death on here, but I've been so impressed with that machine, and that's sincere. My closest friends will tell you, that ain't no sales pitch. I love the boat. And really impressed by the rough water performance, by the skinny water performance. It's really, really one of my favorite boats that I've ever been in, Express X21. And the folks of Express have been bringing you excitement, building excitement since 1966. And we thank those sponsors. All right. Text our guest here. All right. So this guy, y'all have heard me talk about him a lot on here. A lot. He is someone in this industry I have an immense amount of respect for. And y'all hear me say that with a lot of our guests. The ones that I know personally, there are there are people that you get to know in this industry in life in general, right? That you hear certain things about, or you, I don't know, they don't live up to expectations, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And that's been, I've met, you know, musicians that I looked up to. I've met fishermen I've looked up to. Just people in business, they don't live up to the expectations that you build up in your mind sometimes, or maybe they don't live up to, like, the character they play, I guess, on social media. You see that a lot with people. But this guy is through and through one of the real ones. And what I mean by that is he walks the walk, he talks the talk. He is fully obsessed and invested in bass fishing. It's not something he does to make content. It's not something he does. It's his life. He is a guide. He's a tournament angler. And he is immersed in the sport of bass fishing. And this year, this freaking year, I talked about him a couple weeks ago. I'm elated for this guy and his family, because he finally was able to get the monkeys off his back. He's had a lot of close calls and was able to qualify for the 2022 Bassmaster Elite Series, which was what his goal was. And ladies and gentlemen, we're fixing to get him on the phone from Minnesota. Minnesota, Mille Lacs. If you're looking for a guide, this guy is the one. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see if we can get him on the phone. Josh Douglas.
Yellow.
What's up, Dougie?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, just talking to some lowlifers. You know what? You know, just doing the damn thing.
I hear you.
Just on here doing it while you're out doing big things, man. I said in my intro that you're one of the real ones in the sport. And what I mean by that, and I want to say it to you, is virtually to your face, is dude, there were, I remember being in a meeting at TH Marine years ago. And I had seen your name circulate, but your name kept coming up with guys like Corey Williams. And they're like, man, Josh Douglas is the real deal. Josh Douglas is the real deal. Josh Douglas is the real deal. And this is before I got to know you at all. And you start, you know, kind of fact checking, because I would be in on some of those budget meetings when they're deciding who to sponsor and stuff back in the day, because I was fishing and at that time you weren't fishing the FLW tour, and I didn't really know that much about you. Man, when I started digging in, I'm like, holy crap, this guy works himself. I mean, really, dude, like, whether it's promoting sponsors on the water, doing guide trips, like, dude, you put your entire life into bass fishing.
Yeah.
It's incredible, man. When did that start for you? Like, when did you decide? Were you 12 when that started? Were you 21? Because I feel like I know you really well, but I don't know your story that well.
I mean, I've always been into fishing. You know, being from Minnesota, though, it was probably more, you know, I have two dads because I come from a divorced family. So I got stepdad and my biological dad. Both of them are into fishing. My uncle, who since has passed away, he was the one that was closest when it comes to bass fishing for me. He kind of got me into bass fishing. My step grandfather got me into some bass fishing because his neighbor had a cabin. I believe it went something like, his neighbor was from Alabama, but had a wintering or a summer place in Minnesota. And so he kind of got my grandpa into bass fishing. So, you know, I was a kid, I have that old Shannon twin spin with the fur on it. And the damn Uncle Josh pork on it. And I'd try to flip around reeds and stuff from a paddle boat, you know, and then of course I'd have to go across the lake. But yeah, I mean, I played hockey, I played golf, I played football, I played a lot of sports and stuff growing up. So fishing was always a, you know, thing we did up at the cabin or in the summertime here, because it's obviously pretty cold. But from when I started to fall in love with the bass is when, you know, I was probably in high school, I started to really fall in love with bass fishing, and that's kind of what I wanted to do. I didn't really have the means to do it. I didn't have a boat, nothing like that. But, you know, so I worked, I was a bartender, I did the hospitality management thing for a while, which definitely has excelled me with my sponsors today. Just working, you know, working for Marriott and then being a bartender while I guided during the day. You know, that helped me learn how to fish and kept money in the gas tank. And then, you know, just once Bree and I got married, she was like, okay, fine, go get a boat. You know, you're pretty good at it. Go get a boat. And we did. And then I just never really looked back. I probably fished in the state for like 2 years, and then I had an option to fish the Open in 2012, and I did it. Jeez. I think I fished like, I actually think I started in 08. I started fishing some club federation bass stuff. Or Bree just yelled at me, 07 would have been my first year.
I was going to say, yeah, you got a fact checker. She's close.
Yeah, I always got a fact check everything now. No, she said back in 07, I started the club stuff. And then, you know, by 08, I think I started fishing some pro-ams. I think in 09, I won my first one on the Mississippi River, which was a pretty big event. And then, you know, just kind of kept going and just kept putting any money I'd win and made right into, and then I threw it into the Opens in 2012.
So
the first three, and then I kind of never, the rest is just me.
So you have fished the Opens every year since 2012.
Yeah. Yeah. I took, the first year was just the Central Opens. It was that famous, Louisville. I almost said Loserville, but I won't say that. And it was a grind, dude. And I remember showing up being super green. Like, I looked around for docks to skip a jig under, cause that's what I did in Minnesota, and threw a frog. And I just had none of that. The water came up. But I remember after like the first day, like half the field blank, I caught one bass for like a pound something. I think I caught two bass total, one each day, and I finished like 59th in my first Open. And I was like, man, jeez, this bass is easy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then I figured out brute reality real quick what was going on. But yeah, 2012, I think in 13, 14, 15, roughly. I mean, rough numbers, I fished all the Opens to the best. But man, my first year was like a big grind. Like I had an old boat that I was trying to keep, you know, moving all those tournaments that was already, you know, 6-7 years old, an old Ranger. And I think in five of my nine in the first year, I had major engine problems that didn't allow me to finish or fish days of the tournament.
Jeez.
That was the most gut wrenching. So when I endured that year, and that was like saving up all of my money, dude, that was like everything I could to make that work and actually travel out of Minnesota and go to Texas. And when I did, then yeah, it kind of, once I kind of got over that year, then after that, I started cashing some checks slowly and kind of figured out what I had going on. And then the tour definitely excelled me fast. And, you know, just that kind of, that's the FLW tour, as we know it, is a grind fest, you know? And
yes.
Always is, and produces hammers of fishermen. But the goal the whole time, yeah, was always the Elite Series. I mean, that's from Minnesota. Bassmaster kind of rules roost, and the Classic, and it's just something you really can't shake out of you, you know?
No doubt, and you were running around with guys like Seth Fider up there, and you may have even been buddies with a guy named Kyle Wood at one point. I heard some Josh Douglas stories from Kyle Wood. Oh, yeah. Shout out Kyle Lumber here on the podcast. But, dude, I want people to hear that. I want anybody listening, especially if you're a young fisherman, there are so many kids, I feel like, that have a misinterpretation, or we feed them misinformation of how the struggle works but listen to Josh Douglas. 2012, he started fishing the Opens. 9 years later, qualifies for the Bassmaster Elite Series. Now, you had near misses. You had a couple close calls, but it took that long because they don't take 50 every year. It's a very small number. Very small number.
You got to remember, too, and like the whole time, like it's a timing's perfect now. You know, I would say, you know, I never did the co-angler thing. And if I could go back and redo anything in my career that would have 100% potentially got me to the big stage quicker, would have been to be a co-angler. And I got to watch that firsthand with Chad Smith being my co-angler family so much. You know, and you learn stuff. You just learn stuff from each other. You know, when you're a co-angler like that, he gets to watch not only, you know, he was in the boat with Justin Lucas when Justin Lucas was going off on Harris Chain or Chickamauga. He's drawed, you know, he's seen a lot. But he's also seen the bad of the sport. That we've all, reality is truly there. People start forgetting about it when you're catching them all the time of the other side of the sport. But he got to see maybe the bad decision making and stuff like that just has pushed his learning curve. Like where Chad is now, in the open to where I was in my first couple of years, it's not even close.
Oh, he's a veteran. You know, I told him that at Pickwick this year. Yeah. He comes back on day two with like 20-something pounds. Like, I was like, you're not a kid, man. Like, no. You know, I mean, those are rebounds that don't happen to young folks a lot of times.
That happens to seasoned people. And that's the one thing I wish if I could have went back, I would have. But at the same time, I look at it too, like, now it's pretty turnkey for me. It's really, it's more of a relief, more of a, like, this is the first off season here in a while, especially with the MLF stuff always going on and different stuff there.
Changes, yeah.
Yeah, I can just concentrate on fishing, and I need to, because you got guys like Polinick and Fighter, who you mentioned, that are freaking going to eat me alive if you don't. So you got, you know, you absolutely have to. And so for that aspect, I don't think the timing could have been any better. You know, even I remember getting, like, I think Shin Fukai got the last spot one year, and I had a good finish at Smith Lake in the fall. And I think I finished, when you take the elite guys out, I was like the first one out that didn't get to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been like 17, 18. And man, I'm just so glad that now it happened now and not then, because now I have a Forest Wood Cup under my belt.
Yeah.
Heck, I should have had two. I have endured a lot of things.
I was getting to that.
But at the same time, man, it's just all looking at it now. I mean, it hurt, but like the 10-year, like a 10-year ride at the Opens, and I think I will probably take the Opens off just for this year, just again, so I can concentrate on it. But I'll be back at them right away. They're fun. I enjoy them, and there's a lot of people in this world that would have traded places with me for the last 10 years,
for sure.
And I think a lot of people lose sight of that, or I hope that they don't lose sight of that, because you know, I'll still run them around. I'll still helping TH Marine sell jack plates. I'll still helping sell Phoenix
boats, no doubt,
and catching bass all over the country and learning. And now I get the big stage, and I really know that I'm ready. You know, I'm ready for it.
So. There's no doubt about that you're ready for it, and your sponsors are ready for it. Like you just mentioned, yeah. You had built. I get that question just like you do a lot. Man, how do I get sponsors? Or how do I? Man, you just got to. And I hate the term grind it out, but you do. Like, you're not going to fish the Opens and them open up Pandora's box of checkbooks, right? And say, hey, Josh. You want to fish the Opens? Well, here's $50,000. It doesn't work that way, unfortunately. But if you put in your time, you and Bree have done such an excellent job of making content, working hard, and truly being educational. I think you've got the, if not the best social media channels for education. You're right up there in the top five with anybody out there, man. Like, you break it down from a true and honest perspective that I appreciate. And I think, and hell, I know you, and I'm over here peeking at them videos, especially when it comes to those smallmouth. I'm like, what's he doing? What's he doing over there? What's old Dougie doing? But I love that, like, the What's On My Deck series that you do. That's just something unique that separates you from a lot of pros. I think it's awesome, man. I hope your sponsors appreciate it like they should. And I feel like they do.
Yeah, definitely. No, they do. And this is a time for them now. I feel like, you know, I've always tried to, you know, I'll kick my coverage to the best I can.
Yes.
When it came to somebody investing in you, you know, and at the same time now, I think they get to sit back too and just kind of enjoy that, you know, the opportunity we got coming here the next few years. So, yeah, definitely good. And the content, man, you know, I've done it. I've tried to keep a high level of that. I learned quick. I was one that was like anti-Facebook and all that stuff.
Yeah.
No, I don't want people, you know, I don't want to do that. Why would I want to do that? But then I quickly saw, and the one thing I say to people when college kids, high school kids, anybody hits me up, says, man, you got awesome sponsors. How do you do it? The first thing I'm going to tell them is I would look right at your Instagram page. And if you can't promote yourself, how in the heck are you going to be able to promote another company? And at the end of the day, Josh Douglas Fishing is the business. And, you got to keep that going at a high level. So, but that's the big thing. If you can produce and you're out there doing it, and the education, like you mentioned, Luke, that's my favorite. I've always admired Al Lindner from
being
yes. You know, the beard. I keep trying, and then I bite my whiskers, so I shave it back again. I'm trying to get there, but like, and the way I look at it, all through the stretch, the FLW, the Cup, all that is every check I get, every top 10 I can get from now until it's over. Is just going to make people listen to me more.
Yeah.
And I'm just telling them the way it is to the way I know it and teaching. And that's something that I think, you know, I'm 40. I didn't have that chance when I was 17, 16, 18, I had to take magazine articles as gospel. And now you can, there's so much way to get information. People are getting so good, so quick, because if you're into it, you're into it. And I just want to be one of those that are pumping out some of the best stuff.
Well, you certainly do that, man. And if you're not following Josh, I feel like if you're watching this, you definitely are. But if you're not, make sure you give him a follow, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. He does an incredible job. And somebody else that does an incredible job is your wife, Bree. Mm-hmm. With everything she does. She is really, you guys, there are a lot of fishing couples out there that are like hashtag team, blah, 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 or hash, but you guys are that. Like I don't just see Josh. I see Josh and Bree. I don't just see Bree, right? You know, you guys are a team. And let's not forget the star of the show, Lutzen.
Just ask him.
He's the star of the show. But talk about how important it's been for you guys, is because bass fishing is just like the rest of life for most folks. It's a roller coaster, man. But how important is it to have Bree with you at those events?
Right. If there was ever a time, it was never finishing in the hundreds, a couple tournaments in a row. It was not, you know, missing a tournament to win to go to the Classic, or even getting kicked out when you thought you're in the Cup. Like, none of that stuff ever really bothered me. The stuff that bothered me was being away from Bree or my dogs for extended period of time. Mm-hmm. My family, my friends, all that. When you fish professionally, as you know, it takes a toll. I mean, friends that I wish I saw on a weekly level, I don't think I've seen in a couple years. You're always busy. You're always gone. You're always doing something. But when it comes to your immediate family, that kind of stuff gets gut-wrenching hard, quick, when you're on the road. And trying to run around in hotels. I've had bed bugs twice from trying to sleep on a buddy's floor. I got a hotel just to find a cheap place to stay. Once Bree and I figured out that she wasn't loving her corporate job, working at the bank, it wasn't her thing, and she never really wanted to do it. It was a job to her, and she wanted to travel and stuff like that. So when we figured out that, you know, this is the time, again, this is another time when we're talking about sponsors and putting out content, that, you know, back in the day, 20 years ago, a company that's just used TH, because we both know them, if TH wanted to do a sponsor thing, well, they had to fly in photographers, videographers, they're pros, everybody, throw them all up. Well, we just figured out quick that, hey, if we can provide you that same level of content and get it to you, you know, as a team, well, that's worth something. It doesn't need to be a whole heck of a lot when all I really want to do is run around bass fish with my wife and dog. You know, it's as long as I can get enough to get going from point A to point B and breathing, and she's good.
Yes, like, she is.
She started with the camera, and she started getting into it in videos. And I remember her at iMovie, and then, oh, I need this computer and this camera. And it just kept rolling. And next thing you know, we were kind of like our own team.
When no
we
doubt.
And we can provide that level of content. I think that's the future of the sport. Like, I might have grown up wanting that quote unquote fishing show, but I think now that's going to be through, you know, obviously the internet base.
For sure.
And bringing how much content you can bring. And of course, when you're catching them, everybody wants to get on the phone with you and wants your content, stuff like that. But it's being able to carry yourself through always and constantly bringing that fee that's important. Bree, 100% she does that.
Well, and she is also like this culinary genius I see all the time. So you got to be like Carl. You got to be out there running, because she'll put some carbs on you. Now I see those recipes and I'm like, oh hell, I couldn't eat that every day. I mean, I could, but I'd weigh 400 pounds, man.
Yeah, she's somewhat of a health nut with it.
Yeah, that's right.
Stuff like, natural foods and all that. But again, it's something that's been able to open her up to her passion.
Yeah.
Now and all that. And I think, you know, with Shields and all that, we'll probably see a whole side of that continue to blossom.
Very cool.
People want my fishing videos, but I think I get 3-to-1 requests for recipe videos.
I have sent Bree recipe requests before. Yeah. Like, hey, hit me with that again. That was amazing. And dude, I just want to say to anybody listening and to you guys, like, that to me, as I get older, and you said you're 40, I'm closing in on it, I'm 38. That to me is what life becomes to be more about, right? Is, hey, the corporate gig was not for her, and now you guys are out here chasing this thing together. That's what was so cool to see this moment come together for y'all. at Norman, and what a way to get into that top three by finishing in the top 10 at Norman, being on Fox Live, catching a big one on live. Like, it was just very, it was cool, man. I have to say I was emotional seeing it, just because I know you guys, I know what all it meant. So, man, just, it's so cool to see, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. There's no doubt. You got to come in and you hit the docks and you throw your key fob in, and there's too many tournaments. You got to look and just shake your head like, no.
Yep.
And it's one thing to let yourself down. It's another thing when you feel like you got a team around you and you're doing it, but to be able to come back when you really needed it and you know, get that and see that smile and stuff like that whenever you can. It's what makes it all work, for
no,
sure.
No doubt. And dude, I had this on my list, and you briefly mentioned it, but you had a near miss up there at St. Clair where you were in the cup cut, and you had I wanted to tell this from my perspective, just because I checked in and I saw Bree on the dock, very upset. And then I heard what happened. And it was in that moment that I think for me, I realized just what a team you guys are. But you had a fishing license incident that was nothing intentional and was just really kind of a random, weird, just run of bad luck. And your catch was disqualified, right? And it cost you the cup.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. At St. Clair, I had, you know, it's Canadian water, and you were in that tournament.
Yep.
You know, that was before COVID, and we had no problem fishing the Canadian side. But the story to it actually was, I just finished taking third at Kentucky Lake,
mm-hmm.
and that put me like right in the,
yep.
right inside the cup line. And so I looked at everybody, I'm like, man, I got to go to St. Clair. I've never been there before. So we left Kentucky Lake and drove straight up to St. Clair. And we just idled around that day, and I didn't even have any fishing poles out or nothing. Canada was closed, as a matter of fact, but I went through the U.S. side and down all those mile roads and stuff, and there had been hundreds of bass boats. It seemed like every single one of them was setting a hook. And it was early. It was a spawn. You know, I was like, oh, wow. So then I ran over to Canada and just idled around over there, and there wasn't a soul fishing. There was nobody there. The water was clear. It looked like two different lakes, you know. And I told her, I'm like, I'm going to make every cast in Canada. We got to make sure my Canadian license is ready to rock. So we were driving back to the UP, and the reason why she felt so bad, aside was technically she was the one that got me the license,
right.
But I was sitting right next to her, and we were looking through it. She was looking through, and she was like, well, we just never saw the option between a conservation license.
Yeah, there was something. Yeah, I remember.
And we didn't see that there was an option, and we just, you know, conservation. I don't know. Didn't even think about it. Like, yep, we just need that. I was more concerned with that card. You had to have that card up to date. That and the dates, and she had found a perfect license that was like 8 days or something, which would include in the SLW our day off.
Yep.
So I just never even thought about it. Well, all practice, technically, I would have been legal because I was throwing fish back as I was catching them, which I believe the conservation license I found out from the officer, you can only have two in your possession. So it's a smaller, it's their way of promoting conservation by offering a slightly cheaper license for, again, I just never saw that option. Was like I was trying to save $10. On a license, my, you know,
like, yeah, and fishing so for $100,000, like, because you were doing really good like in the that. Tournament as well.
Yeah, I got $20 jerk baits coming in like they're on a freight box. I'm not really worried about that. So anyway,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you know, I had a decent first day. I think I caught about 18 pounds, which is generally pretty good on St. Clair. I'm just trying to skate into the cup, and I came in. I was in like freaking 80th place.
Yeah, I had 18 the first day and was 72nd, I believe. I remember that.
I was like, oh, wow, I got to really kick it down. So then I went back out the next day, and I had about 22 pounds in the live well. I'd already had Jody and all them and Kyle coming by and saying congrats, you're in the cup, literally doing small little on-water interviews.
Wow.
Put it away, felt so good. And all of a sudden, Coast Guard or whatever, the Canadian whatever you call it, sheriff, I don't know what you call it.
They come
they're just randomly hitting boats.
Mountie, I don't know what they are up there.
Yeah, and they came over to me, and they saw Shimano all over my boat, and they just loved me because they loved Gussie. So they were like, all about Gussie. Yeah, they were all about Gussie. Like, I wish he would have been close. They would have just drove away, and they would have never done nothing.
Thanks a lot, Gussie. This all comes back to you, nicest guy in history.
They look at my boat, they see all the Shimano decals on the carpet and stuff, and they're like, oh, you must know Gussie. I'm like, oh, yeah, of course. Gussie's my buddy, yeah.
What are the odds?
He's everyone's favorite, you know? And so they asked me, so I got a little worried. They're like, you know, just let's see, fire extinguisher, stuff like that, license. And I'm like, oh, and I was a little worried because Bree keeps my licenses in Dropbox.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't get my internet going. So that's where I was concerned. Like, I'm like, oh, my God, what are they going to tell? You know, I should take a screenshot, something like that. Well, they're like, just give me your license and we'll just run it in. And so they ran it in, and I listened to them, and the dispatcher comes back after a couple minutes conversation. He's like, you catching them? I'm like, I am, man. We're going to the Cup. This is awesome. My first time to the Cup. It's pretty ecstatic. They felt good about it. And then all of a sudden you hear the dispatcher say, you know, Mr. Douglas is good with the conservation license to whatever date. And I'll never forget it. They looked at each other for like a moment. And you just immediately get a feeling like, give me back my license. You know, like, what's going on?
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, you know, you have the wrong license. Oh, this is a big trouble. God. You can't have two in your possession. And so, you know, at that point I knew that I had broken a law or broken a rule, which was going to, you know, I knew I was going to get DQ'd for it.
Yeah.
So just do what you got to do and do it right. So I got a $300 Canadian ticket. I had to throw all my fish back.
Jeez.
And then, yeah, I went and reported to Bill, which ended up getting me DQ'd. And, you know, dropped me out that first year. But, you know, the next year, it really wasn't that big because, again, it was more for me. I knew I made it. Like, that's
right.
Needed.
Yeah, you
that's
made
what
it.
I needed.
Yeah.
Like, I needed to know against Brian Thrift, against you, against all these different anglers, the Johnsons, all them dudes, that I could do it. And once I knew that it was over for
changed
me.
Changed everything,
and
I
had what I needed. I came back. I took the top 10 at the Cup the next year. And, yeah, and it's been, again, one of those learning lessons. But still one of those things that you endure. That's for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, dude. And it makes you appreciate years like this where, you know, it's a struggle. It's a gauntlet, but man, you're on top of it now, man. You are headed to the freaking Elite Series. Before I let you go, I gotta ask you this. Best bartending story ever, go.
Oh man,
that you can tell on a podcast.
Yeah, that's the thing. I got too many because I also bartended in Tiki Hut at Florida.
Oh Lord.
Yep. Yeah, none of those are really good podcast stories. Honestly, just it's going to be cheesy, but being a bartender is awesome because you meet so many different people.
Yeah.
So young guys in the sport, it's a young people in the sport. It's a great thing to do because generally, it ain't like I just get 2 weeks vacation. As long as somebody picks up my shifts, I can go.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing when you're trying to fish all the opens and stuff like that, still make income for your family at home. And yeah, you meet a lot of people that, I'll tell you what, going back 20 years now, are some of my biggest fans still.
That's awesome.
Yep. And stuff like that. So, but as far as, yeah, stories, yeah, there's, I mean, anytime you get booze and people, you're going to have some pretty hairy stories for sure.
Well, we're going to do a low budget live at some point and, have a couple drinks and we'll tell bartending stories one night. How about that?
Awesome.
Well,
sounds good,
that
man.
Sounds good, buddy. Well, congratulations to you and Bree, man. I'm looking forward to it. To keeping up next year, dude. I can't thank you enough for doing this, and really appreciate you.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Keep the good podcast coming, Luke. Appreciate
thank you,
it,
buddy. Thanks, I Josh. Did. Douglas, everybody. Dougie, right there. One of the real ones. I say that about a lot of folks, but if I say that, it's because I mean it. That's for sure. And he is certainly a guy that he's been through it, man. 2012. Let that sink in. That's why I talk about those opens, and they are without a doubt some of the toughest tournaments in this country. They are ran to precision by Chris Bowes and crew. Bass really they run an awesome event, but they're tough, man. But hearing him say that, that's what's even more impressive about a guy like Jacob Prosnick, about guys like Jason Christie, Greg Hackney, that go almost just make it back at wheel. Like, that's how great those guys are. It's a real testament, man. But really wanted to have him on. Glad that he agreed to come on and mix it up here on Low Budget Live. Hope all y'all are doing well out there. I appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in, listening to me mix it up with these bass pros and other guests that like to come on. And appreciate it, man. I do. I've said this, and I want to say it again. The last few weeks have been insane. They have been more than I ever asked for, drama-wise, insanity. And really, they make you lose faith in people, honestly, the negativity and it lets you know just how many cowards are out there too, right? Just hiding behind fake whatever, just to insult you or your family. Like it's real. It's a sad place we live. But I say that to say this: the outpouring of support, positive comments, direct messages, text messages, emails that I have received from people has been mind blowing, and it's something I'll never forget, man. So. If you're one of those folks, I really, really, really greatly appreciate the kindness. Because like I say, at the end of the day, I'm a dude that talks into a microphone, looks at a camera once a week, that has an entire world life going on outside of this. And so when you see a lot of hate and things, it's just hilarious because people at the end of the day don't know anything about you or your family and what you may have going on. But so to those of you out there that are loyal low-lifers, and just overall, just really good people. I appreciate each and every one of you. Be sure to hug your mama. I sure miss mine every single day. We just, just passed that 2-year anniversary of losing her. And not a day goes by we don't think about her, that's for sure. Gonna take you out with a little bit of Biloxi Blues. Appreciate y'all, and I will see y'all next time.
From Jacksontown to Tupelo, I never could make it last. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts, well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no. And I got 3 good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas.